a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join on the text line, 713-780-3776 to call to text. You heard from Mr. Voice Guy himself right there on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. NFL free agency officially opened about 3 hours ago. I say officially opened in that it is now the legal tampering period where teams are allowed to talk with potential free agents about a deal, but that's been going on for a while. And over the weekend, you saw a bunch of deals happen. The most noteworthy over the weekend was DK Metcalf getting traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a second round pick. Geno Smith getting traded to the Las Vegas Raiders over the weekend. And today we've seen some more deals. Davante Adams signed a 2-year deal with the Los Angeles Rams. And then Sam Darnold signed a 3-year, nearly $100 million deal. Actually, over $100 million deal. $100.5 million with the Seattle Seahawks. So the Seahawks have been very active. The Texans, meanwhile, not so much. They traded for Christian Kirk. They cut Shaq Mason. They re-signed Derek Barnett. They signed Sheldon Rankin. And they also, as I said, traded for Christian Kirk. So they've made moves. I just need to see some offensive linemen. I need offensive linemen. The Texans need offensive linemen. Nothing new on that front as of yet. And I wonder if they are as aggressive as they need to be with that position. Because it's not just a coaching problem. It's not just Bobby Slowick. It's not just Chris Strausser. It's a whole thing. This is an offensive line that's got a lot of issues, and they need a talent infusion as quickly as possible.
Full renovation. They need everything. They just need at least three guys. I guess they need interior. Three guys on the interior.
Yes.
Minimum of two. I'm okay if you decide to bring back, whether it's Tytus Howard or to start one of Juice Scruggs, Jared Patterson. I'm fine if you choose to start one of those guys. But you need at least two new faces.
Yes.
Along with Laremy Tunsil and Blake Fisher, who's also kind of a question mark. But
yeah,
I know that you drafted him in the second round to start him in year two. So I feel like he's pretty nailed in there. But everyone else in the interior, it's open competition.
100%. So, get some guys in and make it a more open competition.
Yes. Has Will Fries signed anywhere?
I have not seen any Will Fries deal.
I'm just looking at the
top. Colts offensive lineman, right?
Yes. I'm just looking at the top free agent lists and seeing how many of these offensive linemen have signed.
Mm-hmm.
That way to know, you know, how many guys are available. Are they missing out on guys that are signing elsewhere, or has that market not really heated up in the same way that it looks like the quarterback has, the quarterback market has, the defensive line market? There's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Looks like Will Fry's
still a free agent, I think, yes.
When I Googled his name, wasn't New Deal didn't pop up immediately.
Yeah, what was the first thing that popped up? Franklin Delano Roosevelt? It said New Deal.
Oh, no.
Gotcha. We'll see what happens on that front again. We're just monitoring here. Cam Smith, meanwhile, Astros super prospect, he is continuing his torrid spring, and we heard from Jim Bowden of The Athletic, a baseball insider, that Cam Smith, per Joe Espada and Dana Brown, is going to have an opportunity to compete for right field this year. Which is very weird because he hasn't played in right field yet. Meanwhile, Jose Altuve also would like to see Cam Smith in right field. That's a pretty significant update. I wonder what's the next step. Like, are you actually going to put Cam Smith in right field for one of these spring training games. We've seen already a lot of Jose Altuve in left. It does look like he will be the primary left fielder for the Astros this coming season. Could Cam Smith be your right fielder? Per McTaggart, Brian McTaggart, this is how we basically get all of our spring training updates, because he's the one guy down there and he generally posts about what's going on in these games. Cam Smith struck out today in his first at-bat against Kevin Gausman, but then he had an opposite field single to right field his next at-bat. He is 9 for 15 this spring. And if he keeps hitting like this, it's going to be very difficult for the Astros to leave him off the opening day roster. I'm still skeptical it's going to happen. And also, if he's going to get to play in right field, I'd like to actually see him out there, because he has only played at third base to this point. But Cam Smith is actually going to, I guess, get looked at in right field. I really hope that we end up seeing him in right field, because I just do not see a lot coming out of this current outfield outside of Jose Altuve, who is not even really an outfielder.
Yeah, no, it definitely feels like, at the very least, the kind of spark that a team might need. And maybe you get more strategic with it, where it helps to get them to get Cam Smith actually playing the position that you're going to put him in. Whoa, yes. Whatever. But you start the season without Cam Smith and you have McCormick and Myers, hopefully getting off to a hot start. If not, that's an easy improvement to make to
100%.
Slide in the number one prospect in your system, slide in a guy that your fan base is already kind of lusting after because of the spring he's had.
And he's an aircraft carrier.
An aircraft carrier.
Whatever that means. I think it's
an easy way to, like, hey, 2-game losing streak in April, boom, Cam Smith. Now you're number 7 hitter.
Hell yeah.
Let's ride. So they might get selective, or, you know, kind of try to play that game a little bit. Again, it wouldn't all be a game, because this guy has not played outfield. I would like him to play outfield, but I don't know if he can do that and still make the opening day roster. Because he's not doing it at third base.
Correct.
You're not beating out Paredes.
Nope. Not beating out Paredes. And it seems like the Astros are still interested in Nolan Arenado as well. So yeah. I don't know if the trade's going to happen.
You might never play third base for the Astros, Cam Smith.
Some people I know brought up over on Friday, because Christian Walker had the oblique injury, and it seems like he's going to be on a significant amount of time. Oh, does he play at first base? I mean, maybe he could. I don't know.
I think
right field, I'd rather him be out there.
I think we're just doing, he's big and tall, so maybe he can play first base. Big target out there.
Don't you have to be left-handed to play first?
You don't have to, but it's preferred.
It seems like everyone likes the left-handed guy. Speaking of handed, Gerrit Cole this year.
Yeah, right-handed.
Well, not anymore, because he's going to have to get Tommy John surgery. Yeah,
I saw that he was getting second opinions. And normally when you get a second opinion, it's because you don't like what the first opinion was. And yeah, he had some elbow soreness in spring training, and they got it looked at, and it looks like it's going to require Tommy John. He was a guy who last year, and this is something maybe the Astros, or at least we need to keep in mind when the Astros are talking about pitcher injuries. Last season, he did miss time due to an elbow injury that they initially was feared that it was going to have to be Tommy John, and he rehabbed it enough to come back without getting surgery. And then now in spring training, he's going to need Tommy John surgery. So maybe when you need Tommy John surgery, it's better off just to get it over with. It's a little different with the Yankees, because last year they did end up making the World Series. They had a very successful year, the most successful year the Yankees have had over a decade.
Right.
But I think it's something where when you first hear elbow injury, worried about Tommy John, actually he won't need surgery. He can rehab it. Just have the thought in the back of your head that Tommy John might be around the corner anyway.
Yes. Yes. 100%. So Gerrit Cole, Yankee season over already? Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. Did you hear Stan's injury? Stan had a very funny injury.
No, Giancarlo Stanton. What happened to him?
Giancarlo Stanton off injured, I did see a picture of him with a beard, so good for him.
Good for him.
He has two elbow injuries.
Oh, dang. How did he suffer them?
Sneezing?
I
have no idea. But Giancarlo Stanton said that his elbow injuries are considered severe in both elbows.
Oh, dang.
He attributes it to bat adjustments from last season and is unsure when he'll be able to resume baseball activities. If surgery is needed, he said it would be season-ending. So, yeah, Stanton also staring down the barrel of season-ending double elbow surgery. I think I would get one elbow at a time, but I'm not a doctor, nor am I someone with elbow injuries. But I would be like, give me one. So I have one arm free to live my life, and then give me the other one.
Oof, that sucks, though. What do you do? Like, if you rehab, are these both in slings? Like, double slinged with double?
That's why I think you have to get one at a time.
Yeah, I think you have to. Dang, God, that would suck. That would absolutely
suck. Well, although Chris Middleton got double ankle surgery in the offseason, and I think he got both at the same time. But I guess ankles, you can just be in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It's a little bit easier with
feet. With both, right. Yeah. Or crutches. Although I guess that would
be. No, you can't really be in crutches.
Yeah, you have to have at least 1 foot to put weight on.
Two walking boots.
Well, I mean they're walking boots. I mean you're allowed to walk in them, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah, no, you are.
That's the point. That's what they call it, a walking boot. We're doctors here, as you can tell. He's Sean Mapes. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. NFL free agency's underway, and Cam Smith might be getting opportunities in right field in the near future. We'll keep you posted on all of that. Stick around.
ESPN
97.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
NFL free agency is underway, and the Texans have made a couple of minor moves today. Sheldon Rankins, a defensive tackle, they signed him. They brought back defensive end Derek Barnett. They traded for Christian Kirk, a seventh-round pick. They cut Shaq Mason. These are moves that we already knew about. We'll see if there's more moves that happen today. I'm still waiting for that offensive lineman. I need an offensive lineman. Also, Cam Smith, the Astros super prospect, who we've talked a whole lot about because he's been off to a great start, is apparently going to at least be considered to play right field for the Astros. I don't know when that is. I don't know if that means opening day. I don't know if that means at some point the early months of the year. But the fact that the manager and general manager of the Astros said, yeah, he could potentially play right field, and we haven't even seen him in that position yet in spring training, it's noteworthy. I feel like the Astros theoretically could sue a basketball team right now. Why do I say that? Does anyone know about Omaha University? It's a school. It's not related to Peyton Manning. They play in the Summit League. Do you know what they do to celebrate after wins? They bang trash cans. Not kidding. Just saw this in the commercial break. Omaha's chancellor popped out of a trash can with the AEW title belt to celebrate Omaha winning their conference. And they just go to town on these trash cans.
After the chancellor jumps out of it, I assume?
Right, yes. Not okay. In there. So they just find trash cans. And I'm not kidding.
On the run to the Summit League title, they're just, hey, we found a trash can in the other room.
Yes.
Now we beat it?
So I'm watching the video right now. One of their players gets a towel and is like smacking it, like just like abusively smacking it. They just another guy jumped off the top of a cooler and elbowed the trash can.
Okay, so they're doing like wrestling moves.
They're doing wrestling moves to the trash can. I don't know why they started doing it, but
Who cares? This is a good celebration.
Omaha, they find trash cans and they beat them up. And apparently, Omaha, per CBS Sports, was asked by the Summit League to not beat any trash cans after they won the Summit League tournament. So somebody brought a trash can for them to beat afterwards. And honestly, I feel like the Astros should think about suing them.
Yeah.
It is?
I'm watching it with the towel. Just whip it. That's very funny. I understand why you... This is such a funny video. I understand why they want them to, like, hey, don't use, like... I think you have to bring your own trash can. If you're going to have guys jump off of tables to elbow it, which also... Yeah. Maybe don't do that while you're in the middle of the season.
I agree, though. I agree. And honestly, the guy that jumped off the cooler to elbow it, it's a little crazy. So anyway, bring it up because the Astros, of course.
Made trash cans famous.
They used to bang trash cans.
Yeah. But, and they won. They won a lot.
That's true.
Now here, the Omaha Mavericks. Hey, at least one Mavericks team is having a good time.
Yeah, they're having a great time out.
Hey, the Omaha Mavericks. This is the run that might lead them. Are they in the NCAA tournament? They might lead them to the NCAA tournament.
They might get there. And then, yes, we're going to be banging some more trash cans. And I honestly, knowing the NCAA will somehow step in here and say, you guys have to stop this.
Well, I think if they make the – oh, they are making the – they won the Summit League.
Right, they won the Summit League. So they're
okay. Yeah. So all this week, should the coach be focusing on who they might play in the first round? Who whatever – plays. No. This entire week is about acquiring the best trash can you can, maybe multiple trash cans, and thinking of inventive ways to have a viral video of you guys smacking the hell out of the trash can. Mm-hmm. Now, they might be a 16 seed.
I would imagine that they would be, because it seems like the Summit League isn't exactly the best.
In this article, it says... Omaha should cheer for a couple upsets in the low major tournaments so they can get bumped up to a 15 seed. So they seem pretty nailed into – you know what? Maybe they're so low on the 16 line that they're playing the play-in game, the 16 seed play-in game. They can win that and destroy a trash can in Dayton. I'd be okay with that. I would allow that.
By the way, trash cans are surprisingly expensive.
These like gray industrial
ones? The gray industrial ones are like $40.
Wow.
I know. It's not like it's super expensive.
Yeah.
But
I guess, if you buy one, because these are the kind of.
These are the big ones. These aren't like waste baskets. Yeah. These are big containers.
The big gray ones that you'll see like at a school
like
or something.
Like a brute trash can.
Yeah.
Or Rubbermaid trash can.
In like the school cafeteria, like we had these kind of trash cans. That $40, I guess you only. Unless you're planning to jump off a table and elbow it, they probably last you a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know. That $40 probably lasts you a couple of years. But no, that is surprisingly expensive for a trash can. But now Omaha, I think Omaha University is the first America's team of the NCAA tournament.
I think so too.
And we have over a week until it starts.
That's true. I forgot. Gosh, with this rodeo stuff that I'm taking care of, I totally forgot that there's sports going on. There's just a lot.
Yeah.
Basketball right around the corner.
Thursday and Friday next week. Buckle up.
Friday is the Journey concert as well.
Ooh, oh, wow.
I'm so excited.
Are you going to have to go?
I have to work at 6:30 a.m. the next day after the Journey concert. I know.
So early in that concert, you might have to go your separate ways.
Ooh, nice.
There we go.
That was a good
one. I know a Journey song.
Hell yeah, dude.
More. I know another Journey song other than the one everyone knows.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's Don't Stop Believing, but Faithfully might be their best song.
Okay.
I'm forever yours. I can't sing. Right now, my voice is gone.
No, normally you would sound just like Steve Perry.
Just like him.
But yeah, today, allergies.
This is a great text as we're talking about trash cans from the 832. You ever get mad that you have to buy garbage bags just to throw them away? Yeah. What a great point.
Yeah, I bought the biggest – when I got my apartment in October, I just bought the biggest box.
Me too, Costco.
It's like 150 of them. And I was like, I can go through three a week. And I will not have to buy a new one until next year.
By the way, garbage time, still at 2:45. Don't worry, but we just happen to be talking about trash cans because Omaha University, perhaps to pay tribute to our beloved Houston Astros, whenever they win a game, they beat up plastic trash cans. Like really, they beat it.
Yeah, now their mascot's getting into it.
It's like the typewriter in, or not the typewriter. It's
a copy machine, the or copy fax machine,
the fax
or whatever.
Machine, yeah. In Office Space. It's, yeah. They're basically doing that. Anyway, you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We'll keep you posted on what's going on in NFL free agency and the latest on Cam Smith, who might be a right fielder for the Astros this year. And an all-time airline story. Whoa. You think airlines are bad? This airline was the worst. It didn't crash, didn't blow up, don't worry, but it definitely wasn't a great spot to be. You'll find out why next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Pretty slow day for the Houston Texans as far as free agency goes. Not as slow of a day across the NFL. Really, I'm just depressed looking at all these players that aren't that good that are getting a lot of money. I'm depressed. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to their agents. I get it. It's the most watched league in the United States of America. But Sam Darnold got $100.5 million after having a good year with the Vikings that ended poorly.
I was going to say, how much money do you think the last two games of the season cost him? Week 18 against the Lions.
$25 million.
Looked terrible.
So bad.
What was their playoff game? Oh, against the Rams. Looked even worse.
Yeah.
25? I think 25. Yeah, especially like guaranteed money. Like he probably could have gotten $80 million guaranteed.
Sure.
And now
he's
only making $55 million guaranteed for, what, 15, 16
yeah.
good games.
He's making $34 million a year, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill me. Justin Fields signed with the Jets. 2 years, $40 million. I mean, what the hell? Eric Murray, former Texan. 3 years, 22.5. 12 guaranteed. What?
Yeah, that at least quarterbacks, it's like, well, you know, you can talk yourself into why quarterbacks make a ton of money despite,
yeah.
you know, having only flashes of being NFL caliber.
But Eric Murray?
Eric is paying a safety $22 million for we're like not entirely sure how good he is.
I bet most Jaguars fans had no idea who the hell he was. And Murray had some good moments last year. He's pretty good in run support. But, like...
Depends if he, like, made a big play in a Jags-Texans game.
Yeah.
You know, like, that... Or actually, was he involved in the Aziz Alshayer fracas in the middle of the second Jags-Texans game? But, yeah, no. This has to be a weird time for an NFL fan to have to kind of, like, pretend to be excited. They're like, oh, safety help, cool. And
yeah.
then you're like, it's more of like depth. It's like a signing that we were saying the only signing the Texans need on defense is like depth guys. It's mm-hmm. another linebacker, more bodies up front, which they got some of that with Sheldon Rankins coming back. But that is basically what the Jags paid $22 million for.
Yes.
Is it like... Maybe he can be a starting safety, but you feel better if he's the third safety.
Yeah, pretty much. Or maybe they're moving him to nickel or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's helped some guys. That I mean, we saw it with Petrie.
Right.
Maybe that's what Eric Murray does.
Tyrann Mathieu had helped him out, too.
Yeah.
From the 832, all this NFL money getting thrown around And I'm getting yelled at in a Teams meeting, LOL.
Yeah.
Oh, getting yelled at in a Teams meeting, too.
Because you're listening to this. That's why. They can hear us.
Yeah, that's probably it.
they can hear. They're listening to Sports Talk Radio. That's why you're getting yelled at.
I'm sorry I'm so loud. I know my voice is raspy and kind of gravelly today, and I apologize for that. It's the allergies.
Why are you listening to a Doc Rivers podcast?
Doc Rivers' podcast gets probably a ton of, like, Eric Murray money,
despite not
being probably that all that good. Okay, you know what wasn't good? You know how airlines are a disaster these days? Considering we've had, you know, a tragedy in the air not too long ago, and, of course, that one plane that landed and flipped upside down, this is perhaps the worst plane that's ever existed. A flight from Chicago to India had to turn back. Why? Because after just 5 hours of the flight, while this thing was flying over Greenland, 11 out of 12 toilets were clogged. Yes. This flight had 11 of 12 toilets clogged. So, and this is an actual part of the statement, to avoid a, quote, fecal collapse, end quote, pilots turned around to return to the airport. The plane was cleaned for 2 days. One toilet for 300 people. They were nowhere close to India. Again, they were over Greenland. It had just been 4 hours. 11 of 12 toilets. What were these people eating? And this is flying from Chicago. So what are these people eating at the Chicago airport?
The bear? They're having some Italian meat.
This is insane. 11 of 12 clogged toilets.
11 out of 12 is crazy.
How bad did that smell?
That's over 90% of the. I actually think this has to be this. There has to be some. Something we're missing with the toilets not being prepared. Or, like, there's something wrong with the toilets. Because there's no way 11 different passengers. Because I'm assuming it takes one person to clog one toilet. Although, I guess I could be wrong. But you need at least one different person for each toilet that's clogged.
Yeah.
And to do that in 4 hours, to clog 11 out of the 12?
Yeah.
That just means someone didn't use the 12th toilet yet. That's what it tells me. Is that all these toilets were not prepared for whatever the hell was going on in those passengers' lower intestines.
God, that's brutal. This airline?
What airline?
I would definitely sue if I were on Air India.
Okay.
Is it not definitely? Listen, guys, don't make jokes, okay? Don't make jokes. It's like this could have been any American airline. It could have been any.
Yes, you could have told me this was Delta, and I'd believe you. JetBlue, I wouldn't.
Can I say this? I don't think I can say this. I do think certain countries, there are different rules for how you go to the bathroom.
Yes. Tourists from different – there's a certain type of tourist when they go to other places. They have to be told the cultural differences.
India is a little bit different. headline, BBC. Why do millions of Indians defecate in the open? They just poop different there. So maybe this is...
But they made it to the toilet.
They did make it to the toilets. India uses squat toilets. So they just go about it a little bit differently.
That is more natural, apparently.
And sometimes you will see signs at the gym that say, like, hey, don't go on the floor because it's just different. But, yeah, this is literally like an India thing. So I think it's possible the Air India flight, there might be some cultural differences that led to the clogging.
But would the cultural differences be like we didn't reinforce the toilets enough to handle Chicago poops?
For sure.
Because normally people are going on the floor. Like, it would be one thing if they said, like, there's too much poop on the floor.
Ugh.
And so they had to turn the plane around. But no, The poop was in the toilet, enough to clog it.
Yeah. Oh, just a bunch of people are texting in. Who goes number two on a plate? Yeah, that's a psycho move.
I mean, yes.
But sometimes you got to go.
Although, well, no. Never mind.
I have not joined the Mile High Club yet, though.
I was going to say it's a long flight, but you said it was within the first 4 hours of the flight they turned around, so it wasn't that long of a flight.
Everyone was...
It wasn't that long, or at that point, it had not been long enough to where I would have been like, hey, listen, I don't know what Chicago to India is. I assume it's like 20 hours.
Yeah, I would think so.
I would understand why you need to go at some point.
Yeah.
But not in the first 4 hours.
One bathroom for 300 people.
That was not going to work.
That was not
going to work. Great decision making by whoever made the decision to turn the thing around.
As someone who, like, I have a small bladder, and I normally I have to go a lot generally when I'm on the plane. I would not want to be on this airline. I think I'd rather the plane flip upside down. It's at least I get a lawsuit out of this. I don't think you can sue anything here. You know, you just turned around and lost your time. I
would be so pissed. Like, this is beyond this situation, just in any situation, because we hear about this a lot.
Right.
Where something weird happens on a plane or something crazy happens, and they have to turn around at some point. I think that's what would get me most upset. If I'm just, like, going about my business.
Yes.
And, like, they have to turn around a plane. Not because of this. If it's only one toilet on a plane full of 300 people, I get it. But if it's some of the other stuff that we hear where there's, like, a rowdy passenger or something and they have to turn around, I'd be like, come on.
I know.
Just handcuff this person to a seat and let's get on our way.
It is funny, though. Yeah, you got to turn around because one person is a pain in the ass.
And you're, like, going on vacation. You're mm-hmm. like, oh, cool. The those MFers aren't real lady is freaking out on the plane. Now we have to turn around.
That dumb. I hate that lady. Oh, she's so hot. She's like a Dallas 6. Can we relax here? The Big 12 has announced their basketball awards. The Phillips 66 Big 12. They're nice. Sponsored.
I know the conference tournament sponsored by them.
Texas Tech's JT Toppin, the guy who got kicked out of the game against the Cougs, is the Big 12 Player of the Year and Newcomer of the Year. But Joseph Tugler for the Cougs won Defensive Player of the Year. LJ Cryer won Scholar Athlete of the Year. And Kelvin Sampson won League's Best Coach. The Cougs, of course, went 19-1 in conference this regular season. The conference's first team is LJ Cryer, along with Curtis Jones from Iowa State, Richie Saunders from BYU. So weird that BYU is in the Big 12. JT Toppin and Caleb Love all made first team. I think Juwan Roberts also made first team, which is weird because I guess first team all Big 12 features 10 players. Not sure how that works, but yes.
That has to be first team and second team.
It says conference's first team was Cryer, Jones, Saunders, Toppin, Caleb Love, Norshad Omier, Juwan Roberts, Hunter Dickinson, Darian Williams, and Javon Small.
I will say congratulations to those young men, although some of them might not. Like, I know Hunter Dickinson. Like, I should not be calling him a young man. He is very close in age to me. But congratulations to them all. I don't think we need 10 guys on first
team.
You don't
think so?
Nah, I don't know. I think we could go 5-5. I think I'd be cool with that. Maybe a 6 because there's a tie in the votes or something. And yeah, sure, they tie and they're 6 guys. 10?
10's a lot. That's like too much.
I don't think U of H plays 10 guys on their team on a normal game. Like they have like an 8 or 9 man rotation. like 10 is so many guys.
That's a lot. That's a lot. I don't know how that's going to work, but hey, shout out to our beloved Cougs. The time it worked.
Our beloved Cougs.
Wow, my normal voice.
I was going to say, your voice sounds way different.
My voice does sound very different compared to that today. It's the allergies, I tell you. It's the allergies. All right. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Slow day for the Texans in free agency with it kicking off today. Plus, the Astros might move Cam Smith to right field. You want to weigh in on anything before we get out of here and do some garbage time? You can. 713-780-3776 to call the text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Down. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Last chance to dance. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on YouTube, at ESPN Houston on Twitch, at ESPN 97.5. Was fun to hear this in person on Friday. If you went to Bun B's birthday spectacular, got to see a little T.I., Ludacris, who loves the rodeo, and you smelled a whole lot of ganja. No one cared. I'm kind of stunned by just how little people cared about blazing up at inside NRG Stadium. Seriously, it felt like I was at a And Cam Smith, I don't know that he smokes, but Cam Smith, big reggae guy, I felt like I was at a Bob Marley concert. It was a lot. It was a lot going on. No one cared. Everyone had a good time. But, yeah, guys, it was a good time. Bun B, shout out to him. The birthday special, it's once again delivered. T.I. as the surprise guest was very cool. Like a surprise guest or two, where you're like, oh, yeah, that person.
Yeah, I think if you're going to do what Bun B does, where it's a group of people, I think you have to you announce a couple of the guests.
Like Ludacris.
Like Ludacris was announced.
That's the headline.
Some of the local guys were announced. But I do think you got to keep one in the back pocket for like, boom, surprise.
Gotta have.
Here's T.I. And T.I. is about at that level where you'd be excited that he's out. But also, he can't be too famous or else like, you should probably just tell us that. This super famous guy. If you brought out Jay-Z, you're like, oh, you probably should just tell us that Jay-Z is going to be here.
For sure.
But
right.
T.I. is the right amount of like, hey, everyone will be like, oh, bleep, it's T.I.
Not kidding. When they started playing You Could Have Whatever You Like, everyone that I was standing around lost their collective minds. It was great. It was one of those people were running like, down the hallways of NRG Stadium with like their hand in their face like an actual meme. It was funny.
No disrespect to T.I. That's a lot.
That's
a big reaction.
Well, I think people were just goofing around.
Yeah.
Being over the top about it.
Nostalgia.
Or they might have been just, you know, in the cloud, if you will, from the 832. I smoked two blunts at the Bun B concert. Cops don't care. And we got one to hit it. Shut up.
No way.
Did you just narc on a cop?
No way.
Did you just narc on a man? Yeah. That's not cool. Our Houston police, they would never do that. What are you guys? That's not cool.
No, that's what the LA FBI office does.
Yeah. The LA.
When they're not coming up with puns about snowboarder crimes.
Right. Of old Ryan Wedding, who's top 10 on the FBI's most wanted list. He's a Canadian snowboarder turned drug kingpin. Also known as El Jefe. So there you go, guys. Big day in free agency for other teams, specifically the Seahawks, who signed Sam Darnold to a $100.5 million contract over 3 years. They had traded DK Metcalf over the weekend. Also, Devontae Adams signed with the Rams. Texans, rather quiet on the free agency front, specifically on the offensive line. They got to get somebody. I need veterans. I do not want an offensive line that's loaded with young guys where you're hoping that they can figure it out at the NFL level. It's just asking too much. All right, it is 2:51 here on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Let's do a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Daryl Morey, you remember him? He used to be the Rockets general manager. Now he's the Philadelphia 76ers general manager. The Sixers are clearly having a disastrous year. Joel Embiid, done for the season. Paul George, podcasting a lot. He was the big acquisition this offseason. He's hurt, too. It's been a mess. Daryl Morey had this to say about Philadelphia 76er fans. Anger is the only thing that drives them. This is a team that's only been to the conference finals once since 1983. And Daryl Morey says that the fan base is driven by anger. I would be too, Daryl. I would be too.
He's definitely right.
For sure. I'm not disagreeing with him, but you need to point out.
Oh, yeah.
Philadelphia sports fans are angry and are driven by anger. What?
Like, you even see it with, like, the Eagles, where they, I mean, because you have to go to the Eagles for, like, success in Philadelphia, like you said. Won conference finals in, 40 years? I feel like Eagles fans are more in their element when they're pissed off at Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts and their entire team, more so than like at the parade. Like, I think them celebrating a Super Bowl is actually like not what they want.
No, they're hateful. They're hateful people. Again, I'm part Philly by blood. I have a little bit of that disease. An example of this, something went viral over the weekend as we continue garbage time. Dak Prescott was on a tropical vacation. I forget the location, but a bachelorette party of Eagles fans saw Dak Prescott walking by, and one of these banshees started screaming the Eagles chant. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, as he walked by. You know what? Not letting Dak Prescott enjoy his vacation, nope. Eagles fans just got to rub it in everyone's face because that's who they are. And listen, we wouldn't have it any other way, but it is pretty funny that Daryl Morey thought that would be a smart thing to say. Like, yeah, you know, the only thing that drives Sixers fans is anger. Yes, because they've got nothing.
They're dirty, dirty, filthy people.
They did they went through the process. And by the way, now the process is like officially over.
I think they could. I hot take. I think the Sixers fans actually want to go through the process again. I think they're hungry.
To kiss.
There is some truth to it where it is way less painful when you're just like, hey, this team's gonna suck.
Yeah.
We're just gonna accept it. Like the expectations of this is the year we signed Paul George. This is the year that we brought back Tobias Harris and re-signed Ben Simmons. Like we're going all like for the last since 2019, 2018, they've been top four kind of contender preseason in not every year, but they've been top four preseason. Like, watch out. These guys might make a finals run out of the East. And every year they lose in the second round or first round or like this year, not make the playoff. Like, I understand why they're like, you know, the process wasn't so bad. We got no one really paid attention to us. We just kind of got to love our little second round picks and be underdogs. Like, actually having to like depend on Joel Embiid in the playoffs, like that's a tough life.
Yeah, it is.
And Ben Simmons.
Oh god,
Ben Simmons, the bigger failure,
the worst possible place for Ben Simmons to.
They had a
not care.
They had a number one pick, Markel Fultz, who forgot how to shoot a basketball.
Forgot about that. Yeah, and they got that number one pick because they made a trade with the Celtics.
Yes, who drafted who they wanted to anyway.
Yep. Oh man. It is funny. I love the Sixers and Knicks are just absolute disasters.
It's
like,
crazy.
Just consistently beat that. Buffalo Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman on a podcast revealed that during interviews at the NFL Combine, teams were upset with Coleman for eating the snacks that were in a bowl. They got mad at Keon Coleman because he was eating snacks. Rooms have bowls of snacks. Coleman helped himself to some. Said Coleman, teams are mad I'm eating snacks. I'm like, I'm hungry. I'm listening. Can I grab little fruit snacks every now and then? Y'all got all the snacks in here. That's just for show. If you ain't going to draft me over some fruit snacks, that's crazy.
That is crazy. You're right, Keon Coleman.
It's bizarre. Like, why would you get mad at the guy for eating snacks? Like, oh, he's a he's a young, growing boy.
Yeah, 6'5" wide receiver.
Yeah.
If he was talking while eating the fruit snacks.
Oh, with his mouth open.
Yeah, you know, some manners while you're talking to, I don't know, Sean McDermott.
And he gets taken off the big board entirely because of that.
He wasn't taken off the Bills big board. But yeah, if Nick Caserio's like, all right, dude, enough with the fruit snacks. Let's talk about your route tree.
Route tree. Less best fruit snacks, by the way, Gushers. But I don't think they're actually fruit snacks.
The 0% fruit. 0% fruit.
And on that note, guys, it's been real. It's been fun. Gravel and all. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to our callers, texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, and everyone else who listened. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.